white power.
White power for white people. Black power for black people. 1967. The Black Panther Party. The movement.
Freedom.
Let's talk about freedom. Freedom.
Freedom. We will not bow down to racism.
We will not bow down to injustice. We will not bow down to exploitation.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, thank you for staying with us. We had a heavy last hour talking about what color is your God. We put that on the table for what I call day two of 27 days of blackness. Now, you're wondering, why am I saying 27 and not 29? Because Black History Month started on Saturday, but we didn't start celebrating here until yesterday. So 27 more days of blackness. How's that? We'll just split it there. 27 more days of blackness. I am excited to have this conversation with you. It's something I think about a lot. I think about the ways in which I've been socialized in this country. I think about the images that are in my head, even the voices that are in my head. I have my mother's voice in my head. I know that. Case in point, I was making popcorn the other day, and I burnt my hand. Now, in my head, I know I'm supposed to go get ointment and put on the burn because I burnt my hand. But my mother's voice is in my head, my mind, my spirit. And so I grab the butter and put the butter on my burnt hand. Now, I know that that makes no sense, but my mom always put butter on a burn mark. When I got sick, it wasn't about NyQuil and DayQuil. It was about putting vapor rub on your chest and cutting up onions and putting them in your socks. So it's about the images we have in our head. And growing up, even in Chocolate City, D.C., remembering the textbooks that were used, the images that I was fed, spoon-fed, no doubt, was of white folks in positions of power and prestige, and black folks were not. How many of you were taught that the history of black folks began in this country with slavery? Like, that's it. That we would sing while they were getting beat, and we would be happy to be in service. We were the happy slaves. Anybody else got that teaching? What Dr. Carter G. Woodson, the father of Black History Month and the father of black history, talked about when he talked about the miseducation of the Negro. What does it mean to have images where every time you learn about who's smart and who's important, it's never people that look like you? This is why we have Black History Month. And folks, I just want you to think, if we didn't have Black History Month, there is a very real concern that folks in certain parts of this country wouldn't talk about black people at all. Now, we would here in Baltimore, where we're 65 to 66% black, and they talk about black history up in New York, and they probably talk about black history down in, you know, Atlanta. But there are places in this country, places like Iowa, that are 90% white, where there are no black folks to hold up the banner. There are no black folks to remind people to engage. There are no black folks to push the agenda of diversity and equity and inclusion. And I'm not saying that's our responsibility only. It's not. But I do think it is part of the responsibility that we must bear. Like, it's horrible. Like, I want to be clear. It's horrible that we got to hold up the banner. But we do. Like, it's horrible that if I get in the door, I got to make sure I keep the door cracked so other black folks have to get in. But it's true. It's horrible that if I'm teaching in a classroom and everybody's white and I have one or two black students, it's horrible. I got to make sure that I reach out a little bit more. But it's true. See, it's not horrible for me, because that's the way I was taught. My dad said, hey, if you look around the table and you're the only one there, then there's something wrong with this equation. And your job, your responsibility is to fix that. Take no pride in being the only one there. Because, see, something that I saw Charles McKinney, who I follow on Facebook, he's a professor down at Rose, used to say, you know, be careful of black folks who want to be the only black person in the room. Like, those are the ones you have to be careful of. I like black folks who make sure that when they get in there, they're kicking the door open for other black folks. Allies of black folks, make sure that our voices, our vision, our physical bodies are at the table, not speaking for us, but opening up the door so we can get in and speak for ourselves. The images in your head. So when I was asking about what color is your God, it wasn't a question about whether you believe or not. Folks, you know, you can believe whatever you want to believe. I wasn't asking you that. I'm not asking what you believe. I'm not. Because you have that right. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law abridging the free practice of religion. Believe what you want to believe. I'm just saying, given the fact that you are socialized in America, and these are the ways in which we have trained our children, and when we look on television, when we look at the movies, when we look in magazines outside of Essence and Ebony and remember Jet and Afro, you rarely see positive images of people that look like you. Not the extraordinary black folks. As my dad said, the extraordinary Negroes always get shown. Like, I can mean, everybody's going to show Beyonce, right? Everybody's going to show Beyonce. But I'm saying just other images of people that look like me. Like, the only way I can be included in the shows is I have to be extra special, extraordinary. Something that you look around and it's just a handful of black folks, the chosen few. It's interesting because statistics show that a white person with a high school diploma, hear me when I tell you folks, a white person with a high school diploma can have more money per capita than a black person with a PhD. Think about that. We got to go to school. We got to go in debt. We got to doubly and triply educate ourselves. And a white person with a high school diploma can come out making less money than we do. We have a $1.4 trillion spending base in the black community. And yet, we own the least amount of property in this country. We own the least amount of life insurance in this country. We own the least amount of businesses in this country. Like, it's something that should make you think. See, what we decided to do, and I'm hoping this is not the end of your relationship with us, but I figured that in relationships, you have to be honest. Like, I like, you know, when I used to date way back 20-something years ago before I got married, my whole thing on the first date, just tell me who you are, right? Just tell me. I'm like Toni Morrison, hey, you know, and Maya Angelou. Just tell me who you are. Just tell me who you are. And then that way I can stay or go of my own volition. Let me just tell you who we are here and what we've decided to do for the 27 days of blackness that we're celebrating. We're just going to tell the truth here. We're just going to lay it out. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to have hard conversations this month. Because I think we got to get some things straight, folks. I think we got to make some decisions about who we want to be. We've got to decide what's going to happen to us in this country because they are voting right now. 90% white state is letting us know who's going to represent us. There's a very real chance that Donald Trump that might be back in office. Y'all, what we going to do? Let's have the hard conversation. 410-319-8888. We'll continue with this question for a little bit more. What color is your God? Robert's on the phone from Baltimore. Robert, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I work for my God. My God don't have no color, but I recognize the entities. You keep mentioning the other guy. It just passed my mind. Mm-hmm. As the father of black history?
Yes, Carter G. Woodson.
Carter G. Woodson. But I consider J.A. Rogers the father of history.
Now, why is that?
Because he goes a lot more in depth than Carter G. Woodson do.
Okay.
He goes all the way into the iniquity of not only African people in the diaspora, but he also goes into the European iniquity in terms of their hypocritical prejudice when we talk, when Hitler comes out and talk about the Aryan Nation,
right?
In secret, he worships Saint Maurice. So you
prefer books by J.A. Rogers?
Yeah.
Books like From Superman to Man or The Five Negro Presidents that I've read before, 100 Amazing Facts About the Negro. You prefer J.A. Rogers' work over Dr. Carter G. Woodson?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do his work. His work's a lot more in depth.
Okay.
He talks about the different tribes of the Europeans, and no one's talked about them, how they got their names. Names is a very important thing of how a person functions. And we use these names and it dictates their behavior. So a lot of things we have to have ourselves girded up enough to understand what their psychic really is.
Okay.
Instead of trying to emanate them. And
right.
This is where we get in trouble at over in America, trying to be like them. And it hasn't worked for us.
Okay.
It hasn't worked.
I appreciate you. Thank you for calling. Thanks. Folks, I just want to let you know who the person was that he was talking about. It's Joel Augustus Rogers, Jamaican-American author, journalist, historian. He contributed quite a bit of work to the history of Africa and the African diaspora. He used to work as a poleman, right, a porter. But he really looked at some of the popularizers of African history early on with the 19th century. He has a number of books, From Superman to Man, talks about some of the myths around what it means to be black, what does it mean to be African? It kind of states a number of facts against the ignorance that fuels racism. He is from Jamaica, born in Jamaica. He was, of course, moved to Chicago. But I think that the argument that Rogers or anyone else you would deem to be as a father, mother, person of black history, that's fine. But Dr. Carter G. Woodson, the reason, there's a number of reasons why he's considered to be the father of black history, but primarily with the founding of Negro History Week and the ways in which that has become global, and now it's Black History Month, with the founding of the Association for the Study of African-American Life and History, one of the oldest organizations that looks at the study of black people in this country, the ways in which teachers look to his lesson plans, his Black History Bulletin, the Journal of African-American History. All of this comes from the work of Dr. Carter G. Woodson. I don't try to argue who is or who isn't, but that particular title is one that is used when we talk about Dr. Carter G. Woodson. Not really a debate. It's just the title based upon the ways in which he pushed and believed and studied and wrote about black people and our history and our contributions to this country. 410-319-8888. I have Ankh on the phone from Mount Vernon. Ankh, thank you so much for holding.
How you doing, Susan?
Hey, you've been holding since the last hour. What's up?
Yeah,
you ain't got nothing else
yeah.
to do, buddy. I appreciate you holding on. I'm looking, I'm like, wait, you've been on for quite a while. It's been a ton of calls today, so thank you for holding.
Yeah, interesting subject, you know. What color is my God? I would say it's color voodoo. Let's talk about voodoo just for a second.
Okay.
You know, we were worshiping our ancestors before they came up into Africa.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We was worshiping the wind, thunder and lightning, Shango, Bambara, the whole nine yards, right?
Right.
And Christianity, it ain't nothing but white witchcraft. Have a good one, Doc.
Have a good one for you as well. Folks, now, voodoo, which in so many ways is a... When you start talking about religions and what people believe, again, I didn't ask you what you believe. It's an Afro-Caribbean religion. I'm just looking, you know, online. I don't study voodoo, but I know it says here that it originated in Haiti through followers that were found in Jamaica, the Dominican Republic, Brazil, the United States. It has very little to do with the ways in which people talk about voodoos and zombies today. Like, it really is two distinct and different things. 410-319-8888. Tyrone is on the phone from Catonsville. Hey, Tyrone.
Yes, how you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, in regards to what do I see, when I close my eyes and pray, and this is the first... This year has probably been the first time I even thought about the color, guys. You see actually what I see.
Right.
And I don't see anybody. I feel like I'm tuned into the energy of the universe when
okay.
I pray. I don't know about anybody else. I don't consider God as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Jesus was a brown man because he was born in the Middle East.
Right.
And so was St. Nicholas, or Santa Claus, whatever you want to call him. St. Nicholas, if you look at the Baptiste tapestry, which was done during the century where he lived, the third century, it's he looks like Wesley Snipes in a red robe. He's from Turkey. He doesn't look like the Scandinavian Santa Claus that we came up with. So there's been a lot of things done, you know, as far as initiating us into this belief of whiteness as purity. If you look at the Sistine Chapel, the image of God in that depiction is a white man. It's right. A white man with a lot of white angels. Reaches out to Adam, who was a white man.
Right.
So that's where that stuff originates from, and the depictions of Jesus as a blonde, blue-eyed white man, that they were the great painters of Florence and places like that.
Oh, absolutely.
And in regards to slavery, slavery did not end legally in 1865, but sharecropping,
yeah,
slavery by another name. If you look at the 13th Amendment, I know you know this. Mm-hmm. It prohibits slavery except as punishment for a crime.
Yeah, the new Jim Crow.
You have people engaging in convict labor. They would lock people up for vagrancy.
Yep.
So let's say you didn't want to be a sharecropper. They would lock you up for vagrancy and then ship you out to somebody's farm or somebody's company and work you to death. You know, so.
Thank you for bringing that into the discussion. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, slavery didn't end with 1865. It was just by another name. Sharecropping, convict leasing, and other things were used to keep us on chain gangs and things of that nature.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Folks, we are making our way through. This conversation is definitely going to continue a little bit longer because we got people standing by. Tyrone, Jameer, Clarence, Loretta. Hey, Tyrone from Catonsville, let me start with you. How are you?
Hello.
I was just on. I'm sorry. I'm not getting anybody's time.
Okay.
I was just on. I'm sorry.
Okay. Nope. All right. Have a good day. We have Clarence on the phone from Baltimore. Clarence, how are you?
Dr. Kate.
Yes.
You know, in listening to the conversation, you know, these are basically people who have a belief system, religion, or something. You know, you have a group of people out here now that, given the vastness of space and what we know scientifically now, we don't really see God as being a corporeal being because we don't believe that human beings are capable of envisioning a being that's capable of creating something vast. I mean, it's beyond our capability. So when you start talking about God, and from my point of view, just speaking for people like myself, that's a man-made creation, the face of God or God being a corporeal being. We just don't go there. It's too big for us. I look at myself as just a tiny pea in this vastness, so how could I possibly put a face on God or see him as looking like myself, per se? Dr. K, continue to ask the hard questions.
Okay.
I got up this morning, and I'm going to be truthful. I went out and I voted for Ms. Carter this morning. But given the shenanigans going on up in Iowa right now, you know, I got to ask myself, you know, at my age, am I really going to continue to stress myself out with these people?
Mm.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much, Clarence. Folks, we know that the 7th Congressional District race is happening today. I want to remind you that what I'm calling the double dose of Dr. K, meet me back here, 8 p.m. I will be back on the air. I'm going to leave at 5, like I always do. Go take my kid up to fencing. And then I'm going to come back here because I want to meet you back here at 8 p.m. And I'll be live from 8 to whenever it's done, 9-ish or so, with my colleague Faraji and my other colleague Julius. And we're going to count this election down together to see who the person is going to be. Because in taking a look at this, there's a lot happening. Kevin Rector from The Sun put on his Twitter, who's going to win nomination for the rest of Cummings' term, only to be reprimaried in April for the seat's next full term on the same day they're seeking to be confirmed to Cummings' remaining term in the general election. It's kind of confusing what is happening here in the 7th Congressional District, but we're going to walk through that tonight. At 8 p.m., I'll meet you here for that. We have Patrick on the phone from Randallstown. Patrick, how are you?
Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Good. I want to comment on the color of God, and I just want to comment on them because I didn't see a color. I was dead for 30 minutes, and I was walking through a tunnel of light, and it was all bright, and at the end of the tunnel was really, really bright. However, I didn't get to the end because a voice just said to me that I was dead and he was going to let me go back. And I can't describe the voice now, or I didn't see anything, so I just don't know. Oh. I just know that he's real.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Patrick. We have Loretta on the phone from West Baltimore. Loretta, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
My God has no color.
Mm-hmm.
Because for one thing, God was, he was born closer to the sun. And the sun turns your color from dark to light sometimes.
Right.
So, and nobody's pure nowadays. We have Indian, we have white, we have black, Asian, whatever. Nobody in America or anywhere else is pure blood.
Mm.
And if the Aryans think they pure blood, they better think again.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Loretta. We have Jamar on the phone from Gwin Oak. Jamar, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Great. Hey, you know, one of the things, and I'm going to tie this into with the concept of the color of God.
Right.
One of the things I think that we make a mistake with is during Black History Month, we just pretty much focus on African-American history. But the problem with that is that it doesn't take into account the African part of your history, which is, you know, it's just like, you know, the time that we spent in this country historically is really only a bat of an eye. So you have to look throughout all of Black history, right? And one of the things that you find throughout all of Black history is that we've always depicted God or gods, and goddesses in our image. Now, let's be clear, it's clearly an abstract image. It's clearly a symbolism. But what that does is that it associates you and identifies you with that which is divine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's important, to always associate and identify yourself with that which is divine. Because if you don't do that, then you associate yourself with that which is lower, you know? And that'll
right.
be
okay.
maybe the cause of our failings.
But then now with that, one of the ways I just want to ask you, Jamar, how do you think with young people, I know we're running out of time, just very quickly, what's one thing you think we can do to help young people begin to break away from the images that we have pushed upon them through media and everything about what color God is?
Well, that's two things. One, pull away the iPad.
All right.
Pull away the cell phones. Pull away the TV. Pull away the computer. Right, and spend time with them, and actually go to the Black museums.
There you go.
Actually, read African books about African history and African spirituality, right? And explore it with them, and take a journey with them. That'll go a long ways right there. It won't repair all the damage in one generation,
but it will
start the process.
All right, I'm gonna stop you there. Thank you so much, folks. I'm gonna hold it here. When we just come back, we're gonna have Julius, who's our WEAA news director. I got Will, Mark, and Linda, and we're still waiting to hear what's going on in Iowa. Don't forget tonight, double dose of Dr. K, 8 p.m. I'll be back on the air. I'm excited about that. Just keep it here.
That we shall overcome someday.
Oh, someday we shall all be.
Come on. You know, we gotta pray.
Today with Dr. K, I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, we have had a conversation here today. We've been standing by waiting to hear what is going on in Iowa. I'm only going to say for the record, this is why we need to not continue to have Iowa be the one that kicks this whole thing off. I mean, it is a place that is 90% white. And they are having what we would term as a debacle in Iowa right now. So we don't know what is going on. We're trying to get the results. And as soon as we do, we will share them. I'm looking now when I just put, it says here so far, as I'm looking at the 2020 United States primary election results for Iowa, 0% reporting. So they don't have anything yet. So we don't know if it's Klobuchar or Warren or Sanders or Yang or Buttigieg or Biden. We don't know. Tom Steyer is still in it. We don't know. What is interesting, because Iowa is so white and has so much power, think about the fact that the two African-American candidates, well, one African-American, one black candidate, knew they couldn't compete in Iowa. Cory Booker and Kamala Harris both said, you know, I can't make my stand in Iowa. I don't have enough money, is what Kamala Harris said. Cory Booker said, I'm just polling too low for Iowa. So it's interesting that Iowa has this power, and we still don't have any answers. We're talking now about what color is your God, and we're just kind of making our way through. I do have Julius White. Julius White is our WEA news director. He's going to be joining me and Faraji tonight. Faraji and I, the two of us, you know, to talk about what's going on. Hello, Julius. How are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, so a little bit of update. The last I heard about what's going on in Iowa, it was a major coding error that stopped all the precincts, that blocked everything from overnight. So they're blaming them on the new app they installed for this year's turnaround. So the Democratic Party in Iowa, they said they will have at least 50% of the results by 5 o'clock Eastern this afternoon.
All right, 50%.
The other 50% is coming, we don't know.
Yeah.
So, but those candidates, the Democratic candidates, they didn't necessarily claim victory, but they made somewhat of veiled victory speeches, but they needed some type of a win to boost their, you mentioned their financing up.
Yes.
They needed that to get their money up to go to New Hampshire and on to Nevada and on to South Carolina.
Right. But, they got a long road ahead of them.
Right, right. So I'm out here. I'm going around the 7th District, and I'm checking on polling sites. Right now I'm at Langston Hughes Elementary School at Nelson Avenue, Reisterstown Road, and this is Precinct 27, Ward 55. So at about now 4:30, from 7 o'clock this morning till now, there's been about 64 people at this turnout. The chief judge tells me that's pretty good. When it's more than one item on the ballot, she says that's about a two-thirds more turnout of an increase. They expect more people to turn out between 4 and 6 when they get off work. This is a working-class community and also an older community, a more senior community in the district. So this is what they're expecting, probably a better turnout. Most folks to come by when they get off work. So, but that's what we have here at Langston Hughes Elementary School. And I'm told another thing that's happened at this precinct, the last two elections, there were at least four precincts that voted out of this location, but now it's only two for today's special election.
Okay, so it's coming along. All right. So I know I'm looking forward to talking to you tonight at 8. We'll talk then. Thank you so much, Julius. Folks,
just want to make
a note. With 32 candidates, 24 Democrats, and 8 Republicans running today for Maryland's 7th Congressional District. See, there are going to be 30 people who are going to be very disappointed tonight. Just be very clear. Because you got one person who's going to be the Democratic selection, one person for the Republican selection, and then they got to run to figure out who the person's going to be in April. So essentially, they're running three campaigns, right? This is what we're talking about. They get selected today because we're looking for the two people who are going to run in April for each of the parties. So you got to get selected to get the seat, and then you got to get selected in April to hold the seat. And if you want to be the person that keeps the seat, you got to run again in November. But because it's so heavily Democratic, essentially, just like with our mayoral election, essentially, the Democrat who wins, if that is the case tonight, typically will be the person going forward. It's like what's going to happen with the mayoral election. Typically, the person who's chosen for the Democratic nominee, because it's so heavily Democratic, ends up being the mayor. So we're going to see what happens tonight. But we're still having our conversation about religion, kind of. Not really about religion, but the ways in which religion has been stitched into the fabric of this blanket called America. And if the religion places certain people on the top of the mountain, and other folks got to hang out in the valley, then there's a hierarchy that gets stitched into who we are. I'm arguing, as have other scholars before me and as will scholars after me, that that racial hierarchy is one that we're still fighting to dismantle. Let me remind you of something before I go back to the calls, right? You hear me talk about the Kerner Commission a lot because that's just so fundamental. But when they released that Kerner Commission in 1968, when they said America was rapidly becoming two nations, one white, one black, separate and unequal, this is the part I want to get to. They said that the final battleground, folks, was not around policies and practices and laws. That's not where the final battleground was. The final battleground, if you want to be very clear, is in the hearts and minds of people. So if you're trying to dismantle the system of white supremacy and the system of white nationalism and the push toward racism and the push of stereotypes, if you're trying to dismantle that in the racial hierarchy, then we're talking about getting into people's hearts and minds and changing them. And tell me, how do you change the heart and mind of a white supremacist? Research says you got to have their daughter or son marry someone who's a black person or a Hispanic person. Is that horrible? Think about that. That they're saying that research is saying the only way you can change a white supremacist, you got to bring them into the family. That's how you can get, and they have a grandkid. That's how they start getting changed, because they found that the most staunchest racist, if their son, daughter, or child, let me not gender them, their child marries or has a child by a person who's of color, and the grandbaby comes into the house, all of a sudden, all those racist ideologies go out the window, because now this is my grandbaby. So I don't know if that's the solution. I'm just saying that's what some scholars have said. 410-319-8888. Crystal from the Eastern Shore, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Dr. K?
I'm well. We're having a conversation today. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for having it. I always get so nervous talking about religion with people because I am a white girl, and it's literally taken me 35 years on this planet to educate myself, to like uneducate and re-educate myself on the world, not just America.
Right.
And I mean, like, even going back to, you know, the land of Kush and Egypt and the civilizations that were ran by black kings and queens. And it's hard for me because I don't even feel like we should be worshiping a male figure per se.
Right.
Just because the only thing that gives life is woman, is a woman. You know, they give birth to everything, and our bodies are made up of like stardust. And when we die, we go back to the earth. And I feel like we should be protecting the planet because that's what gives us our life. The galaxy is dark as black. Right. So, I mean, that kind of gives an idea of like my thought process, but I just feel like the Bible and Jesus is like a prophet to God's word is just another way to keep people into, I guess, like a new world slavery mind kind of thing. So, I mean, yeah, I just want to like teach my kids like there's more than this public education.
Right. Oh, yeah,
and it's
worked
right now.
Yeah. No, because I appreciate. No, I think, Crystal, you said, you know, you always feel uncomfortable, but you're doing well. You're using the anonymity of the radio to just kind of talk through these things. Thank you so much for calling. Folks, that really what the process is. We're talking through it. Again, I want to be clear, and that way people, you know, don't come back at me. I am not asking you who you believe in. I'm not trying to convince you of who you should believe in. I'm getting into the psychopathy of how the images of greatness tend to be images that reflect white people. Let's be very clear. This is not stuff I'm making up. This is not me speaking out against white folks. It's not. No. I'm saying that when we look at the images of greatness and of purity and of innocence, it's white. There's a reason why so many places, folks, Rosewood, you know, think of the black cities that were booming cities and towns that were burned to the ground on the charge of rape. In a lot of cases, alleged rape. I'm thinking about black children who have been, whose lives have ended because they were thought to have spoken to a white woman. I'm thinking of young black men who've been arrested and held in jail for years when a white woman said that they attacked her and later found out that they didn't. I'm saying there's something about the pedestal of whiteness that is possibly rooted and connected to images in the Bible. It was a study done by a Stanford psychologist that started me thinking about this. Stephen O. Roberts shared on the page of Dr. Charles McKinney from Rhodes College. It has me going. You know, let me go ahead and play the Chaopoly. Let's play Chaopoly so we can break it up, because people are texting me saying this is really getting them down a little bit. Let's play Chaopoly, and then I'm going to come back to Linda, Mark, and Will. Let's go ahead and play some Chaopoly here.
Founded on two-thirds a person, rapings and beatings and suffering that worsens. Black human packages tied up in strings. Black rage can come from all these kinds of things. Black rage is founded on blatant denial, squeezed economics, subsistence survival, deafening silence and social control.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us.
Guess what? We have one final set of tickets to the Black Museum in Washington, D.C., and they can be yours by just calling and giving us the name of the song and the name of the artist in the correct order, and I will give you those tickets. We got to give those tickets away, folks. Take your kids down to the National Museum. Go see some African-American history and culture. Take your children down where they can see pictures of themselves on the wall. And if you can't get to D.C., no worries. If you can't get to D.C., you can go right down here to President Street and go to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. Go to the Lewis Museum. If you haven't taken your kids, your babies, your next generation, the folks who have to take care of you when you get older, if you haven't taken them to the Lewis Museum, then I challenge you to do that. I challenge you right now, and it doesn't matter the race or ethnicity of you or your child, every single child that lives here in Maryland should make their way down to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. Every single child who can hear my voice, tell your parent, your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, your auntie, your uncle, take you to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. Go see yourself on the wall. 410-319-8888. Mark from Pikesville, you've been holding. How are you?
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure having you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Dr. Kate, first, the religious piece. I'm generally don't engage in those conversations. I always answer that question by saying, you know, my relationship is private and personal, and you will do that, particularly with my family, because they, you know, I come from a family that mixed religions, so they always try to attack what I'm doing, and
right.
I don't subscribe to any one thing that tell anybody else what they're doing is wrong. So that's always in my my mother's background. They're Jehovah's Witnesses, and they attack me whatever they can. They can't jab with me, but they try to. So
right.
That's how you do that. But if you allow me just a second, Dr. K, I just wanted to comment on the brother about J.A. Rogers.
Yes.
Dr. K, everything your brother said was absolutely correct. However, we tend to mix issues. We get it. Everybody can't do everything. J.A.
Right.
Rogers was very detailed. I love his work, as I do Dr. Crush Welding, Dr.
Right.
Dockerman. I love all of their work. Dr. K, this isn't about... Carter, we lift Carter G. Watson up because he was one of the first to bring it to the forefront.
Right, right.
Matthew Robinson wasn't the best. He was the first, and that's why we lift him up.
Okay.
At the end of time, President Barack Obama may not end up being the best, but he was the first, and we're going to continue to lift him up. So I think what that brother did was he mixed the issues. We're not lifting Carter G. Woodson up because he did everything 100% right and had every detail. We all can't do it, but we all do our part. So we're going to lift J.A. Rogers up.
Okay.
And we're going to lift up Carter G. Woodson.
I appreciate that. You're right. Mark, always a pleasure. 410-319-8880. I have Rob from Northwest Baltimore. He is in line standing to vote right now, and he was calling for chaos. You got your priorities in order, Rob. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I like the fact you're in line to vote, and you're listening to the show, and you're calling in trying to win tickets.
Absolutely.
All right, well, come on, shut this thing down, because I know whether you win or not, we got to give it to you. You know, let me just let you go and win first. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate that. So, listen, the first one was Lauryn Hill, Black Rage. The second one was Common, John Legend, Glory. And the third was Say It Loud, I'm Black and Proud, James Brown.
There you go, because I'm going to tell you, whether you won or not, I was going to give you tickets because you're in line to vote and you're listening to my show and you're calling. So I appreciate
right.
that. We got tickets for you, Rob. Vote well, vote wisely now. We'll see what happens tonight. You hold on 1 second. We'll get your information while we talk to Linda from Gwynn Oak. Linda, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K.
Hey.
Because I've been holding on forever.
Hey, girl, let me ring that bell for you.
No, I just wanted to mention, for those, I'm sure you have, but for those who have not seen the movie, and the movie, there's a movie on demand, and it's called The Shack.
Mm.
And now, I don't know if you've seen it, but it is such a profound movie about the move of God.
Mm.
It's called The Shack.
The Shack.
Yes, S-H-A-C-K.
Okay.
Yes, Dr. K, if you have not seen it, find it on demand.
I just found it. So it's a 2017 American Christian drama film called The Shack.
Yes. Please spend time with that movie. It is life-changing. And I'm listening to your callers, and I'm thinking, wow, if I could just get in just to throw that movie out so people can hear the name, so you can watch that movie. It is life-changing. You will not see God as black. You will not see God as white. You will not see him as male. I mean, it is life-changing. My daughter and I spent time watching it a few Sundays ago, and it was profound. It's life-changing.
I'm going to take a look at that. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Linda. Thank you. Hold on to give me a movie choice, something I can watch here. We got Will on the phone from Pikesville. Will, how are you?
I'm in Lewis. Care, hope you are yourself.
I'm doing God well, bless. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Highly favored.
I want to say something that's already been said on your show many times that people need to think about, to keep in mind. Trump will lose the election only if most blacks go out and vote instead of making excuses such as, I'll let everybody else vote now, stay at home.
Right.
Trump fears Biden. We know that. But I think he also has a powerful fear as well as hatred of black America.
Yeah.
And we need to keep in mind that we can take him down, but it's not going to be where we have to be lazy, where only a few people vote, and the rest just sit back and run their mouth.
Yeah. It's going to take all of us.
I was talking to an Ellie White lady today, and this lady is just brainwashed. I overheard her, you know, talking about Trump and how horrible it is, the news media is down on him. And I told her that Fox speaks up for Trump so much, I really wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't own Fox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they definitely ride hard for him.
She didn't believe that. She would say that even Fox will blast him when he does something wrong. Well, I haven't found that to be the case. 99% of the time, it's definitely not the case. And it's just amazing to me. It's a lot of spiritual warfare, how he has lied to people and brainwashed people. I would like you to sometimes play the video so people can listen in on it, wherein Trump his own self admitted, if I'm not mistaken, it does exist, that he admitted that he did that, but he claims he did it for national security, and we all of us who are not brainwashed, know the reality of why he really
to be able to listen. Thank you so much, Will. I appreciate you. We will. Folks, you know, while we're talking about election, I have two things I want to play. I have this clip of David Diggs and Black Thought rapping about voting. I want to play that, and then I want to go into my Iowa caucus clip because we don't have an answer from that yet. Let's just, if we could, go from one right into the other. Come on.
Everything a matter of life and death. I wouldn't say anything, I don't like to waste my breath. The pendulum swings slow whether you're right or left, but you got a right to vote. Black Thought, go and express.
Right or left, we up the creek without a paddle. Look at the boat we in.
Hey.
The devil screaming, vote me in. It's dystopian. Just quote me in the New York Times and the Post again. You'll find me at the polls the moment that it's opening. I really didn't prepare remarks, but here's some choice words. You got the power to change the world. Make your voice heard.
Hey.
Whatever will be as long as it was meant to be. So we gon' see. The V, tell them about the history.
The right to vote ain't always been given to every citizen. Not until 1920 did it include any women. And not until 1965 if you exhibit melanin. And even now, they try to stop us when they telling us lies about deadlines and who can and who can't. And all this voter registration, miseducation, I'd be damned if after all that blood and fighting for the right to be counted, I don't get out my bed and fill out that ballot. Go vote tomorrow.
Move up.
Too close to call, so I'm just going to tell you what I do know.
You won!
So we don't know all the results, but we know by the time it's all said and done, Iowa, you have shocked the nation. Because by all indications, we are going on to New Hampshire victorious.
We know there's delays, but we know one thing. We are punching above our weight.
And when those results are announced, I have a good feeling we're going to be doing very, very well here in Iowa.
This is the start of every campaign. This is the start of our campaign. We came here late. I think we did a fantastic job. I want to thank all the people in this room.
Remember that first debate stage? There were 20 candidates. They had to break it up into two nights. And I'm going right from here to New Hampshire, where I will be one of the seven candidates on the debate stage on Friday night in New Hampshire.
We're going on to New Hampshire, on to the nomination, and on to chart a new course for this country that we love.
We're going to walk out of here with our share of delegates. We don't know exactly what it is yet, but we feel good about where we are. And look, So it's on to New Hampshire.
Let's stay up. Let's stay happy. And let's head to New Hampshire.
This race started right here in Iowa. But from tomorrow, it will run from ocean to ocean. East to New Hampshire, and then west to Nevada, and then down to South Carolina.
And now it is on to New Hampshire. Nevada. South Carolina, California, and onward to victory. Thank you all.
Folks, that was a clip from CNN, and the first one was from Jimmy Fallon's show, which David and Black Thought, and the second one was just kind of everyone talking last night. Who you heard on the clip was Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Andrew Yang, Tom Steyer, and Amy Klobuchar. So we have, at this point, hit a critical mass. There's still other people who are on the ballot. Bloomberg's on the ballot. Patrick's on the ballot, who's a black man. So there's still some people who are floating out there. But who you heard, and if you pull out Yang and you pull out Steyer, you got the top four there. Buttigieg, Biden, Warren, and Sanders. Bernie Sanders is also on there. Those are the top four. Amy Klobuchar is making a real run at this thing, folks. There is a chance, maybe, that we may have another woman who's surging forward to take on Donald Trump. In so many ways, I wish that person on the other end was a black person. I would say that, or a Hispanic person. I would have been interested and excited about a Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Julian Castro. And I know you have problems with Kamala Harris's record, and you have problems with Cory Booker's record, and problems with Julian Castro's record. I have a problem with all their records because what they are, they're all human. They're all complicated. They've all made messy decisions. They've all tried to ride for black folks. And sometimes they did a good job and sometimes they didn't. But we're going to see what's going to happen. We're going to talk about Iowa tomorrow. Tonight, come back at 8 p.m. for a double dose of Dr. K. I'll be back on the air at 8 p.m. live talking about what is going on with the 7th Congressional District. It's been an honor and a privilege to serve you. I'm no longer accepting the things I cannot change. Like Angela Davis said, I am changing the things I cannot accept. Meet you here tomorrow at 3 p.m. and tonight at 8.
And a good evening. We've got some good news on the light rail link. It had been shut down between the North Avenue Station and Camden Station because of